The Legends Radio Network now presents Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Webb.
The program's Lyrics and Legends, and in the studio with me for another round, my sidekick, partner in crime, Buck Weatherby.
Hey, in the words of Minnie Pearl, I am so proud to be here.
And we have a good one this week. I say that every time, and we do have a good
really
one.
You really mean it this time,
I really
though,
mean
don't
it every. I really mean it every time, but this one, see, this guy, he's got it all together, because if you listen to his music and you like a little honky-tonk, this guy's got it.
I like a bunch of honky-tonk.
Bunch of honky-tonk.
Yeah.
On the phone with us. We got to figure out where he's at. Somewhere down south of here.
I hope it's warmer than it is here.
On the phone with us, Justin Trevino. Justin, yes. Good to have you with us this evening. We're going to find out a little bit about your music.
Well, it's good to be with y'all, Gary. I am in Brady, Texas.
Okay.
Which is right in the middle of the state. So probably about 5 hours. Well, maybe not quite 5 hours, but I'm a good ways from Shamrock.
Pretty close to 5 hours. We've been through there. They've got a heck of a square down there and got a real interesting place to go if you want to go.
I remember several years ago, back in 2003, a guy named John Mann had a Western Swing Festival.
Oh, yeah.
And I went up there and did that for him. Had a real big time. And then I've been through there a few times. I went through Amarillo recently. One of my singing heroes is a lady by the name of Kay Adams. And Kay is she's probably in her 70s by now. And she just moved back. She's from, goodness gracious, she is from like Seymour, Texas, or somewhere in that neck of the woods. But she's lived in Alaska for years, and she just moved back to Texas. And I had never met her face to face. So we were coming back from somewhere in New Mexico. I can't even remember where we were, but I made a detour down to Amarillo so that I could meet her and have lunch with her and all that. I'll tell you something though that really bothers me, really kind of disturbing. In all my years of playing music, I have never played a show in Amarillo, Texas.
Oh, my goodness.
You've missed the highlight of your career.
I have. So far, I have. We got to try to figure out how to rectify that situation.
Yeah, we got to get that fixed.
Well, you have to play in Shamrock first, and then maybe we can get you booked in Amarillo.
Well, hey, I'll gladly come to Shamrock.
One of the comments we get about Shamrock, Texas, when we interview folks and talk to them is they've been through Shamrock, but usually if they're on tour, it's about 3 in the morning and they're going down I-40 headed one direction or the other.
Right. Yes, sir. Well, you know, there's a famous radio personality that kind of made his earliest work within Shamrock, Texas, Bill Mack.
We have a couple of streets named after Bill and a plaza.
Do you? Yeah, and he is, I don't know what he's doing these days. I used to stay in touch with him pretty good, but I know that he doesn't have any kind of a full-time radio gig at the moment.
We call him pestering pretty often, and occasionally we get we get him to do a show with us. We've done 3 or 4 with Bill, and then he did a whole series that we're going to have to drag back out one of these days, Memories with Bill Mack, where he played a bunch of interviews and music that he had done from some of his past shows.
Oh, yeah. Man,
really.
We've got to get that
back
up.
Yeah, it's great stuff. You grew up born in Brownsville?
I was born in Brownsville.
We're going to go all the way.
I got out of there as quick as I could, but I was born in Brownsville, Texas.
And you have a pretty rich, family music history yourself?
Well, not so much.
Well, I blew that.
Rick Trevino.
My dad is a hardcore country music fan. And he wasn't a musician or a singer, but he was a devout fan of the music. And his favorite songwriter was Justin Tubb. And that's why I got named Justin, after Justin Tubb. Justin Tubb, if you're not familiar, was the firstborn son of Ernest Tubb, who was a great artist, recording artist in country music, but even more than that, he was one of our great songwriters, and wrote Lonesome 77203 and Take a Letter, Miss Gray, and Love Is No Excuse, wrote a lot of great songs. And so my dad, he got me into this music very early on, and I just developed such a passion for it, thanks to him. that by the time I was 7 years old, I told my folks that I wanted to play and sing. And a lady who is, I have an aunt, it would be my dad's sister-in-law, her sister, which was really no kin to me, but she's my aunt's sister, bought me a Mexican guitar in Matamoros. A little $25 classical guitar, but it wasn't a toy. It was a real guitar that you could tune and play. And I started taking lessons when I was 7 years old. I took lessons till I was about 10. And by that time, I had a good enough ear that if I wanted to learn a song, I could figure out the chords on my own. So I quit taking lessons. But by then, I mean, I was so hooked. I was singing for anybody that would listen, you know.
So you put a band together when you were, what, about 13?
I was probably about 14 years old. I put together a band called Sunset Country, and I was the only kid in it. Everybody else was grown-ups, and I learned a lot from those guys, and I just kept trying to hire better musicians and just really had a couple of really good steel guitar players. Bert Rivera, who had worked for Hank Thompson for many years, Bert Rivera and another dear friend of mine who I still get to work with a lot by the name of Jim Lossberg, they kind of took me under their wings and showed me a lot of what I know about chord theory and just how to count off a song and kind of the conventions of playing things correctly or certain things that you try to adhere to if you're going to, you know, stylistic conventions that make... Of course, now we're in the business of making country records, too, so those things become even more important in the studio than they are on the bandstand. I've been very blessed in my formative years to have some good teachers.
Well, hey, we want some people to hear a little Justin Trevino music, so we're going to throw one in here, and then we're going to come back and kind of get back on this same track. So the first one I wrote down here was a song you did called Honky Tonk, which I thought was very fitting. Talk a little bit about it, and we'll listen to it, and we'll be back here.
Let me make sure which one that is, because there's a couple of them with Honky Tonk in the title. Are you talking about Texas Honky Tonk?
That is, yeah, that's it, Texas Honky Tonk.
Okay. Texas Honky Tonk, I've recorded it three times now, but there's two studio recordings of it, and there's also a live recording of it. I'm hoping the one you're going to play is off of the Too Many Heartaches CD. It's the first song on the Too Many Heartaches CD. That's the version that features Dickie Overby on steel guitar and Bobby Flores on the fiddle. I was in high school when I wrote this song, and I wrote it with Johnny Bush in mind. The first line of the song says, "The jukebox in the corner is playing Whiskey River." And, of course, in those days, I think every song I wrote, I had Johnny Bush in mind. And the good news is, John has recorded a couple of my songs. However, he has not recorded this particular song. But it's not too late. You never know.
We'll be back. We'll talk a little more about Johnny Bush. We'll talk to Justin Trevino. We're going to listen to Texas Honky Tonk, and we'll be back right after this.
The jukebox in the corner is playing Whiskey River. The neon star shines bright above the bar. There's laughing, dancing, shooting pool, crying, drinking, lonely fools. There's people here who don't know where they are. It's the kind of place you go to when you have no one to turn to help you ease your pain and misery. It's a hangout for the losers and a hideout for the boozers and a place to go for lonely fools like me. It's just a honky tonk, honky tonk, where the flipping off the tops and the music never stops. It's just a honky tonk, a Texas honky tonk.
tonk, but it's become my home since you've been gone. Think that someday we might get back together. I couldn't stand the thought of losing you, but I must accept reality. You're not coming back to me. You found your happiness with someone new, so I sit here in same old chair, pretending that I just don't care, trying to forget your love somehow. From the top of the world to the bottom of the bottle, I've sank too deep to ever pull out now. Here in this honky tonk, where the flipping of the tops and the music never stops, it's just a honky tonk, a Texas honky tonk, but it's become my home since you've been gone. Yes, it's become my home since you've been gone.
We are in the studio, the program's Lyrics and Legends, and got in the studio with me, Buck Weatherby.
Oh, yeah.
On the phone, Justin Trevino, not Rick Trevino, Justin Trevino. And
I feel honored to be on the phone doing an interview with the one and only Justin Trevino.
So the song we just listened to, Justin, was Texas Honky Tonk.
Yes, sir.
And you mentioned little Johnny Bush there. You can go into that a little more if you want to.
Oh, I'd be happy to. John, I owe a lot to Johnny Bush, probably more than I could ever repay. When I was a young kid, John was my favorite singer, bar none. And I never imagined when I got older that I would wind up going to work for him. Of course, he lived in San Antonio, Texas, which was not far from where I lived in Lockhart, Texas. Yes, I was born in Brownsville, but in 1977, we moved to Austin, Texas, and then from Austin, we moved a little bit south of Austin to a little town called Lockhart, which is where I graduated high school and went to college in San Marcos. So we were always kind of in that area, and Johnny Bush lived just a little further down I-35 in San Antonio. And so I was in my mid-teens. I guess I was probably... The first time I ever saw him live, I think I was 13 or 14 years old. And then a couple years later, and that was at a radio station appreciation party. And then a couple years later, I went to an actual Johnny Bush dance. I remember that. That was in Johnson City, Texas, at a place called Ed River Palace. And I went up and shook his hand, but I didn't introduce myself. I only introduced myself as a fan. I've never been one to... You know, say, hi, I'm Justin Trevino, I'm a singer. That's just not my style, you know. So I introduced myself to him and met him, but it was a few years later, I was 17 at the time when I met him, when I was formally introduced to him. There still is actually, a flea market in San Antonio, Texas, a big indoor flea market called the Eisenhower Road Flea Market. And the man, and inside this big, and you got to imagine, this ain't no little rinky-dink thing. This is a huge, sprawling thing. And inside this flea market, they had a bar called the Red Eye Saloon, where they had live music on Sunday afternoon. And about once a month, John would bring his band in there and play for the folk. And he was real close. The guy that owned that flea market at the time has passed away now. His name is Harry White. And John and Harry were really close. And so I went there to see Johnny Bush. And the first time I went, he was there with the band, and I had a great, great afternoon. It was wonderful. I went back the following month to see him again, and he wasn't there. But in lieu of Johnny Bush, they were having a jam session. And so I signed up to get up on stage and sing. I didn't know any of the musicians at that jam session. I was a total stranger. But I got up to sing, and I sang Whiskey River. And I think I sang something else. I don't remember what. But I sang Whiskey River. And I will tell you at this point, for the listeners that don't know, I don't talk about it much, but I'm totally blind. And because I am blind, my eyes don't focus. And so I'm up there singing Whiskey River, and the guy that owns this flea market, Harry Weiss, he's watching me from the audience, and he said, "Somebody get that guy off of there. He's drunk." and he really thought that I was, you know. Well, then when he saw them leading me off stage, I think it dawned on him that I couldn't see. And he introduced himself to me, and he said, "Man," he said, "boy, you sound a lot like Johnny Bush." And I said, "Well, it's no coincidence." I said, "John's my..." back then I didn't know him as John. But I said, "Johnny Bush is my favorite singer." And I said, "I actually came here today to see him. I thought he was going to be here." And he said, "No," he said, "we've just kind of, we've had to not do that for reasons that John had some other dates around San Antonio and stuff, and he had to, you know, kind of, he couldn't be going and singing on a Sunday afternoon for free at the Eisenhower Flea Market, right?" So he said, "Man," he said, would you be interested in meeting Johnny Bush?" And I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "I'd love to meet him." And he said, "Well, he's my best friend." And he said, "I will call him if I can get him to come over here next weekend. Would you come down?" And I said, "Absolutely, I would." Well, I took the man with a grain of salt. Now, I got to be really good friends with Harry Weiss, but at that time, I thought, "Yeah, right, you know, whatever." I never expected to hear from him again, to be honest with you. And sure enough, about the middle of the week, he called me. He said, "Justin, this is Harry Weiss." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I've got John coming out Sunday afternoon. Can you come down?" I said, "Absolutely, I'll be there." So we go down there, and Harry missed his opportunity to formally introduce the two of us because we both wound up waiting on the men's room at the same time. And so that was. And John, he said, "Have you been on yet?" And I said, "No, sir." And he said, "Well, let's go on together." I said, "Okay." John, he used to, and I tell you what he did to. So after he quit doing the thing with the Bandoleros on Sunday afternoon, he would still show up at that jam from time to time, unannounced. John really likes to play guitar. He loves to play guitar and fiddle and drums, and he's a picker, you know. And so he would go out there, and he might sing one or two, but really his enjoyment was to jam. He would sit up there with a guitar and play lead guitar for other people, sometimes people he didn't even know, you know. And so there's a lot to this story, but that day, they called him on first, and he sang Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain, and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen," he said, "I'm a little bit hoarse today." He said, "That's why I sound like Kermit the Frog." He said, "But I understand this young man, Justin Trevino, knows all of my songs. So I'm going to turn it over to him and have him sing my song." And he said, "You guys can you can look at me and listen to him, and I want to hear it." So I reeled off about 45 minutes of Johnny Bush song with John sitting right there playing lead guitar, and probably the only time that I can ever say I've ever been nervous in my singing career, you know. And I was nervous. But I knew that I thought, "Man, I got to do this. I want to make friends with this man, and now is not the time to lose your cool, you know." So I did. I sang a string of Johnny Bush songs, and after that day, it got to where I would go out to see him perform. Where if I had the night off, I'd go see him, and he would always call me up out of the audience. He was very good to me. He said, you know, he'd always say, "We got a good friend of ours from Lockhart, Texas, Justin Trevino. I want you to hear him sing." And we would sing songs together, and he'd let me do one or two by myself. And what this ultimately turned into was a few years later, not too many years, probably 2 or 3 years later, his bass player, who is a dear friend of ours by the name of Dwayne Wavra, Dwayne got married, and he was wanting to get off the road. And so John called me one day. He said, would you be my regular bass player? I said, are you kidding? I'd love to.
Well, hang on to that right there. Hang on just a minute.
Okay.
We're going to listen to a song, and then we're going to follow up on this. And I've got one written down called Two Empty Glasses. You think that'll work?
Two Empty Glasses. You bet.
That's a Ray Price song, isn't it?
It's got a little bit of that Ray Price shuffle in there.
It is that kind of song, but a guy named Lee Harmon had the original record this song.
I listen to a lot of these have that kind of Ray Price shuffle, which I really like.
He was famous for that.
Oh, yeah. We want to listen to Two Empty Glasses, get a little more so our audience will hear more of your music, and then we're going to come back and talk about you getting thrown into the fire here playing bass with the Bandoleros. We'll be back with more Lyrics and Legends right after this.
The dance floor is empty. The people have all gone. I'm reliving old memories as I sit here alone. With no one to talk to, no one to care, just two empty glasses and one empty chair. The bartender's closing, he'll soon turn out the lights, and I'll go home to a lonely room and another sleepless night. Oh, but I'll be back tomorrow. I know you won't be there, just me and my sorrow and one empty chair. I see her face in the dim candlelight. One lonely chair across the table tonight. No more wine in the bottle, and nobody cares, just two empty glasses and one empty chair. Table tonight. No more wine in the bottle, and nobody cares, just two empty glasses and one empty chair. Just two empty glasses and one empty chair.
And the program's Lyrics and Legends, on the phone with us from Brady, Texas, is Justin Trevino. I got to get that right because I got to roll it. Got to get that right, Buck. I've got Buck
Justin,
Weatherby Studio.
Justin Trevino.
Trevino.
Yeah.
You say it, Justin. Straighten him out, will you?
It is Trevino, but it doesn't really matter to me.
As long as they call you for supper.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, one more thing you owe to Johnny Bush, you know.
Well, let me, can I pick up where I left off?
Yeah, let me throw this in here, though. You owe this interview to Becky Riddle, who...
Absolutely.
So there's another tie into Johnny Bush. Becky's you got to get Justin, so...
I'm very grateful. Becky's a dear friend of mine, and of course, so is John. And so at that time, when he offered me the bass gig, this was probably about 1994, so I was about 21 years old. I took the bass gig playing for him, and he put me in front. I mean, I had been playing. Like I said, I started my band when I was 14. But he put me in front of bigger audiences than I had ever been in front of, and he really allowed me to, I mean, I opened the shows for him. I wasn't just a bass player, I was the opening act, you know, and then bring him on stage and sing his harmony with him and play bass. And in 1997, he recorded an album called Please Talk to My Heart, or I think it's called Talk to My Heart. The album is called Talk to My Heart. The song is called Please Talk to My Heart. Anyway, he recorded two songs that I had written, Neon Nightmare and The Least I Can Do Is Try. And that album came out on a label called Watermelon Records at the time. Well, over time, and at this time, I'm still under his employment, okay? Over time, Watermelon folded, but a couple of the people that were involved with it started a new record label called Lone Star TMG, which TMG stood for Texas Music Group. And in 2000, Johnny Bush got me my first record deal with that record label, Lone Star TMG. And they put out several Johnny Bush albums. They put out a couple of Justin Trevino albums. And I was with them for a couple of years, and then they started having financial problems. By this time, I was still working for Johnny Bush, but I was also heavy into engineering and producing records. And I had been doing a lot of production work for another record label called Heart of Texas Records, which is based out of Brady, Texas, okay? When Lone Star TMG went belly up, my friend Tracy Pitcock, who has this record label, said, man, you know, it's only natural. He said, you've got a home with us anytime you want it. And I said, well, I think I'm going to take you up on that because this record label is floundering and I can see the writing on the wall. And so it was 2004 when I connected. Well, like I said, I was already doing a lot of production work for them, but I became one of their artists on Heart of Texas Records. And ultimately, Johnny Bush wound up making a lot of records for Heart of Texas Records. I think I left the Bandoleros officially in 2005, but we've remained great friends, and I'm very proud to say that I've produced a lot of the records that John has recorded in the last 15 years or so. So I tell you, there's another guy in San Antonio, Texas, Bill Green, and I got to give Bill his due because he's produced a lot of good stuff on John in recent years as well. But man, I can't say enough. And Becky Riddle is an absolute ace. Becky has been booking shows for me for the last few years, and she's recently started working for Johnny Bush. And the truth is, we're all very close. And,
good deal. Yeah, yeah. She hooked us up, and then along with Tony Booth, we've been able to speak with Tony.
There's another dear friend of mine right there, absolutely.
You've got a song, I think you did this with Jake Hooker, that I want to get in here. We've had Jake on the program. If I've got the title written down, I think it's She Went a little bit farther.
She went a little bit farther. This song was actually a hit record for Farron Young in 1969, and it was written by Merle Kilgore. Now, I'm going to brag a little bit, and it's against my nature, but...
Go ahead.
In 1998, I had met Jake Hooker. We have a mutual friend. He's my drummer currently, a guy named John Reynolds. We call him Smiley, John Smiley Reynolds. And he was a bandolero for many years. He has a long history. We're all kind of a big family, if you're kind of getting the
picture. Yeah, we kind of get the picture.
Yeah. So Smiley introduced Jake and I. I think it was, goodness gracious, I think it was about 1997, more or less. And, man, I just flipped. I thought, man, I'd never heard this kid, and I felt like the rest of the world needed to hear him. And at that time, I was already making records, and he hadn't started. So on my second CD, the CD is called Loud Music and Strong Wine. On my second CD, I asked him to sing a couple of duets with me because I wanted the world to hear him, or at least that sounds a little ostentatious, but I wanted my fan base to hear him, okay? So we recorded Undo the Right, and we recorded this song right here, She Went a Little Bit Farther. Well, I thought it was a great idea, man. I was so proud of myself. I was featuring this young man, and I believed in him. Still do. and he's gone on to do great things, and I'm super proud of him. One of my dearest friends also. But I was so proud of myself at the time, and it really turned out to be a good cut, and it came out great, and I thought, man, this is good. We're really doing good here. I had a real good feeling about it until I got the artwork back. You know how they send you, when you're doing a record, they send you the artwork to proofread.
Sure.
Before it goes, right? And the on the cover, it said, she went a little bit farther, parentheses, with Jake Hooker, close parentheses. And I thought, maybe this ain't such a good idea after all.
Oh, that's too good.
Yeah, that's funny.
So I guess we're going to listen to She Went a Little Bit Farther with Jake Hooker right here.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, sir.
And, oh, man. We'll catch our breath. We're going to listen to this. We'll catch our breath, and then we'll be back in just a few minutes.
I got to really listen to these lyrics.
All right. That's too funny. We'll be back right after this.
Loving me to you seems such a bother. You made it easy for me to love another. So don't blame her for stealing me. You let her. And where your love stopped, she went a little bit farther. Changed so much, I was more at ease with a stranger. It wasn't so hard, our love was already in danger. She does everything that pleases me, you never. And where your love stopped, she went a little bit farther. Farther.
Programs, lyrics, and legends. Man, this is just really good. Every time we get into one of these, I just have more fun every time. In the studio, Buck Weatherby with me.
Oh,
on
yeah.
the phone, Justin Trevino. He said
Trevino.
He doesn't care. Just don't call
Trevino.
Him late for something.
That's right. That's exactly yeah. right.
Justin, I have a question for you before we get too far into this. I've always been impressed by people that over. Come a handicap, and I noticed you mentioned a moment ago that you are blind. And were you born blind, or did that come along later in life?
For all intents and purposes, I might as well have been born blind. I was born 3 months premature and blinded in the incubator.
Oh.
There is some kind of light. You guys might know more about this than me. some kind of light that they have to put preemie babies under so that their body will absorb the oxygen that they need. And it was pretty common back in those days for somebody that was born that early to wind up blind because that light destroys your retina. Now, I wasn't supposed to live. They told my parents, they said, y'all are young, go have another one. You know, he's not going to make it. And then when I continued to hang in there, they said, well, okay, he might live, but at the very least, he's going to be totally blind. And most likely, he's going to have severe brain damage. And so I usually tell people that I got the whole thing, the blindness, the brain damage, everything, all together, you know.
Well, I have, I really, when you mentioned that a moment ago, and we had read something in your biography about that handicap that you were born with, and I've just always been impressed. And did you go to any special schools?
I did not. Okay, so this is why we left Brownsville, Texas. So Brownsville, I can remember being 4 years old, and they put me in preschool. And they set a Braille book in front of me. I guess they thought that I was automatically going to know how to read it. I don't know. I do remember it, though. I remember, and maybe they just wanted me to feel what it felt like. I don't know. But they told my parents, they said, Brownsville ISD has never had blind students. And we're not really set up for it. And probably your best bet would be to go to Austin, where they have the Texas State School for the Blind. And so we moved to Austin in 1977. Now, the good news, and thank God, when we got to Austin, my mom was a high school teacher. So she was in education. That was her profession. When we got to Austin, we figured out that the public schools in Austin were set up to accommodate a blind student. And so thank God, I was able to go to public school, and I didn't have to attend the school for the blind. I went one summer to a two-week computer camp at the school for the blind and saw just enough of it to know that I was very grateful that I wasn't there. I'm not saying that they don't do good work, but so many of those kids, and of course if their families live, you know, somewhere else. I mean, Texas is a big state. So many of those kids, their parents drop them off at the beginning of the school year, and they live there. And, you know, I mean, it's an institution. That's what it is. And I was very blessed that I had a very normal childhood lived at home with my parents, went to public school, went on and went to college. I didn't finish college, but I got a couple years in before I decided that the music was taking priority, you know. But that's the story, and that's how we wound up. You know, we might have never left Brownsville, Texas otherwise, but I'm glad we did because I still got info from Brownsville, and I like going to visit, but I can't imagine living down there.
I've been to Brownsville, and it is a good place to go visit.
Yeah.
Anyhow, exactly, well, yeah. You were very fortunate in your parents being able to take you to where you could get an education.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up. Dad had I know we talked just a little bit about your dad when we started, but I know he must have had a big influence on you. You talk like you were just with him just almost 24/7 growing up, at least in the younger years.
Yeah, I was with him a lot. I was. And my dad, he had two things that he loved. Well, he had other things, but we'll talk about the two that we can talk about right now. He loved baseball, and he loved traditional country music. And he knew that I couldn't play baseball. And I believe that he never admitted this to me, but I believe that's why he got me into the music, because he knew that that was something that I could do.
Well, I've got to ask a question. We talked about the glove box in your dad's vehicle being full of 8-track tapes. Now, who were some of the influences that he had in that glove box?
I'll tell you who was in the glove box. Now these aren't, I mean, some of these may not be my biggest musical influences, but this is who was in the glove box. Willie Nelson, Phases and Stages, 8-track. Willie Nelson, Redheaded Stranger, 8-track tape.
Oh, yeah.
Best of Farron Young, a Porter Wagoner album called Simple As I Am. There was a compilation called, I think it was called Country Roads, and they had volumes 1, 2, 3, and 4, and they were like various artists' compilation, but they had everybody on them, Hank Snow and Ernest Tubb and Jim Reeves and Don Gibson, Geeta Davis. You know, so I've got two real loves when it comes to traditional country music. I love the Texas music, like we're talking about, what I call Texas, I call it Texas country music, although I realize that name has been kind of taken now by the new breed of Texas country artists. But I still refer to Johnny Bush and Tony Booth and myself, Daryl McCall, Curtis Potter, you know, the guys that do the shuffles, Jake Hooker, Bobby Flores. I still refer to that as Texas country music, and I love that. That's what I do. That's what I do on stage. But I also love Grand Ole Opry country music. I love the old guard, the old from the Golden Age, you know, Hank Locklin and Charlie Walker and Billy Walker and Porter Wagoner and Carl Smith, Connie Smith, you know, that little Jimmy Dickens, Ernest Tubb, Hank Snow. Of course, Ernest Tubb, you could make a strong case. You could put him in the Texas group very easily.
Correct.
But those are the two things. And as a matter of fact, I'm fixing to, I've been given an opportunity to have a radio show. This is something I've done before, but I haven't done it in a long time. I've been given an opportunity to have a weekly radio show on an internet station, and I'm actually calling the program. I just thought of this today. I'm actually going to call this program From Tennessee to Texas and Beyond, because this is the kind of music that I'm going to play.
Well, see, I tell you, here's one of the things I had too, is when people were talking about Texas music, and I was thinking exactly like you were thinking about, you know, that group you mentioned, and then they were throwing all these other names at me, and I was like, okay, that's
I don't have anything against any of them, but you know, it's complicating matters, because now we don't know what to call ourselves.
Right, and it's the same way with the Nashville stuff now. I'm not knocking it. I know those guys are making music and making money and everything. It's,
sure.
But, I'm like you. I like the, and that's what our station's all about. It's the traditional country, along with the Johnny Bushes and Jake Hookers and all the real Texas music, like we like to call
it. Yes, sir. Well, I'm sure glad to hear it. I'll have to tune you guys in.
Let's get one of these more of the Nashville side. Something I think Mel Tullis wrote this.
What song? Too Lonely, Too Long?
Yeah, that's the one.
Actually, Mel Tillis had the hit record on it, but Jim Owen, a guy named Jim Owen, wrote that song.
Okay.
He also wrote another song for Tillis called One More Drink and Then I'll Go.
All right.
And actually, both of those songs I recorded on that same album that has the Jake Hooker duet. Jim Owen is a fantastic writer.
Oh, man, really this is a great song, too. So we're going to listen to Too Lonely, Too Long, and we got a lot more coming up with Justin Trevino. We'll be back right after this. Trevino. We'll work on that during the break here, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Too long.
lonely too long. Two arms that almost died from loneliness. Two lips that cry from hunger for your kiss. For too many empty nights I've laid awake till dawn. Two arms, two lips, too lonely, too long. Two arms, two lips, too lonely, too long.
All right, the program's Lyrics and Legends. We're visiting with Justin Trevino from Brady, Texas. I want to thank Johnny Bush for getting us, or Becky, I guess, for getting us hooked up with Justin Buck. This is a lot of fun.
And, we had a great interview with Johnny, and man, this is great.
Tony Booth,
being
we
able
just finished
to
up
to Justin here.
Visiting with Tony Booth. I know you're familiar with Tony.
I'm very fond of Tony. He's a great, great friend, great artist. Matter of fact, he and I recorded a duet together on one of my albums.
Oh, okay. A lot of great music. You got a lot of really good stuff. I just went through picking the stuff I like. I mean, I don't.
Hey, that's fine, man. I always like to let you guys pick them because I'm always fascinated to see what gets picked. I have 14 CDs under my belt and still out there trying to make more, you know. So.
Well, and that's part of the trouble of doing it, is trying to pick out a good representation. But I think the ones we're picking here kind of represent your style, and so that's what I was thinking when I was going through here picking these. And
you bet.
I think we've picked out some good ones and got some more to put on the spin.
So I wrote this down and kind of ran it all together, and it was, if I ever need a lady after the fire is gone, I think it's what. But well, I didn't mean to write that all.
I was going to say, so that is two different
songs. Yeah. We were looking at this writing here, and I said, man, that's a long title. I've got to listen to the lyrics on that one.
So we'll break those up.
Because if you play them at the same time, it's not going to sound good at all. I can already tell you that.
With Jake Hooker on stand-up bass anyway, but that's...
Jake, well, I tell you, so Jake is, in a way, he's a part of both of these. If I Ever Need a Lady is on that same album that has the Jake duet. Now, back in those days, I was playing bass on the sessions. That was before Jake started playing upright bass.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, Jake was one of my favorite electric bass players. And then around about 2004, he said, I'm going to buy an upright. He said, nobody's playing traditional country upright bass in the style of Bob Moore and Junior Husky. Those were the guys that played on Johnny Bush records. And he said, I'm going to do it. And I said, man, I think you should. I'm going to tell you guys, it's one of the most impressive things I've ever seen. When he took that on, the challenge, and it is a challenge, they're very physical instruments to play, you never saw him with an electric bass in his hand again. He switched, and he committed himself to it. He said, I'm an upright bass player, and he became very good, very fast. And I had all my recording career up to that point, and when I say my recording career, I mean as a record producer, as an engineer, I was always playing electric bass, trying to make it sound like an upright. Well, now here comes Jake, and he's actually playing upright, and I just quit playing bass on records altogether. I said, man, you're the man. You got it. So here's what I'm going to tell you. If I Ever Need a Lady, that's me playing bass, but Jake's singing harmony with me. But then that version of After the Fire's Gone that you're going to play, which is actually me and Amber Digby together, by that time, Jake had become our session guy for upright bass. So he's singing harmony on the one, and then he's playing upright bass on the Amber duet.
All right. You know, that upright bass, I guess, landed him a place on Red Steagall's program, too.
Absolutely it did. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's another story that Jake got to share with us, and that's pretty neat stuff.
I tell you what, man, Jake is just a super talent in this business. He really is.
We're going to listen to If Ever Need a Lady with a little Jake Hooker on the harmony here.
Harmony.
And
yeah.
Justin Trevino on the bass. This gets really deep, but for two guys up here in the panhandle. Let's see if we can stay on track. We're going to listen to this. We'll be back right after this with more with Justin Trevino.
You don't smoke and you don't swear. You wouldn't do wrong. And a good girl just can't chase away my blues. I'm out fighting loneliness. Dating girls I know will kiss. But if I ever need a lady, I'll call you. You drink coke, I drink wine. You don't stay out after night. And that's when I'm getting up to lace my shoes. So don't cry when you see painted women out with me. 'Cause if I ever need a lady, I'll call you.
Program is Lyrics and Legends on the phone with us from Brady, Texas, just south. Is Brady on Highway 83?
On Highway 87.
87, okay. 83 yeah, comes right up through Wheeler and goes all the way to Brownsville. Yeah. Stay on it. When you use the Google or whatever it is, it takes you off 83, but you can get there from here. We were talking about If I Ever Need a Lady, and then I've got this duet you did with Amber Digby. Talk about Amber just a little bit, because I've listened to some of her stuff. She's a really talented singer.
She is super talented. So in 1999, her stepdad, one of the legendary steel guitar players, Dickie Overby, moved back to Texas from Missouri. And I knew Dickie by reputation, but I had never met him. You know the Johnny Bush version of I'll Be There If You Ever Want Me By Your Side? That steel guitar solo, that was about 1970, that steel guitar solo is Dickie, and it's one of the best country solos ever put on a record, okay? So Dickie came back to Texas in 1999, and we became fast friends, and he became my number one steel guitar session guy. Played on everything I produced for several years. He also became Jake Hooker's steel guitar player in that time period. But Dickie, we were working on something in the studio one day, and he said, man, you need to hear my stepdaughter. Boy, she really sings. Well, I knew he was telling me the truth, because I just knew him well enough to know that he didn't kid around about anything musical. If he told you somebody was good, you could take it to the bank. But I had no idea how good she really was till I met her. She came down to visit, she was 17 years old. She had stayed up there in Missouri when Dickie and Deej moved down here. Amber stayed up in Missouri. she came down to visit, and we got her up on stage, and I mean, she just brought the house down. One of the best singers to this day, one of the best singers I've ever heard. And a couple years after that, Dickie said, "Man, I want to do a record on Amber." I said, "You just let me know what you want to do, we'll do it." And so we did. I think it was about, probably about 2004, somewhere in there. We made Amber's first album. It was called Music from the Honky Tonk. And Dickie played steel, I played bass, Smiley Reynolds played drums, Bobby Flores played fiddle, a guy named Levi Mullen played lead guitar, I think I played rhythm guitar, and a lady named Deborah Hurd played piano on that first album. And man, it wasn't very long. Probably one of the things that I have been able to do that I'm most proud of in this business, because I'd much rather talk about other people than talk about myself. I mean, I know in, doing these kind of interviews, I have to talk about myself, but it's a lot easier to brag on somebody else. And one of the things that I was able to do in 2004 is I was able to put that CD in the hands of some people who were really able to help Amber and get her career launched. And she's had a wonderful career in this business.
That's great.
So Amber and I did a whole album together, a whole duet album together. And this song is off of that album.
And it's called After the Fire's Gone. Everybody in our audience is going to be real familiar with this. You guys knock it out of the park. So we're going to listen to this. We're going to be back to wrap it up with Justin Trevino right after this.
Clock just now struck 10. Darling, I had to call you to our favorite place again.
We know it's wrong for us to meet, but the fire's gone out at home, and there's nothing cold.
Programs, Lyrics, and Legends. And man, we want to thank Justin Trevino for taking time to visit with us guys up here in the Panhandle and talk about his career and about his love for music and share about everything that he's been able to accomplish. And we have a segment called the Department of Shameless Plugs. Now, I know you mentioned your internet program, but you can plug any stinking thing you want to plug, whether it's the internet program or your 14 albums or your website.
Okay. Let's start with the radio show. The show is going to be called From Tennessee to Texas and Beyond, And the website is Keeping It Country Live. It's they carry it on TuneIn, so you can search Keeping It, and it has the G-I-N-G, Keeping It Country Live on TuneIn, and it'll get you there. Or if you have one of those neat Echo devices, you can say, Alexa, play Keeping It Country Live on TuneIn, and it'll bring it right up. So I'm excited about this. I had a radio show a few years ago, and I've been out of it, but I'm very, very much looking forward to getting back into it and getting to play the old music, but also the new music of the guys that are still doing traditional country and keeping it alive. So that's kind of the main thing that I'm focusing on right now. I do have my artist website is justintrevino.com, and there's a Facebook page. I think it's Justin Trevino Official, and so you can look at our dates.
Man, Justin, we appreciate you. I know it's taking time out of your schedule to do this, but we really appreciate you taking time for us. And I want to thank my partner, Buck, for taking time to come help me do this. And
this has been fun.
If we ever interview Rick Trevino, we got lots of notes.
Well, I'll say this. People ask me if we're related. We're not. But I know him, and he's a really good guy, and he's a super talented guy. And if you do interview him, tell him I said hello.
Well, if you run across him, have him give us a call.
All right.
Maybe Becky knows him. Well, thanks again, Justin, for taking time to visit with us. We really appreciate that, and look forward to hearing from you again real soon.
Hey, thank you all. The pleasure was mine.
All right.
This has been another edition of Lyrics and Legends with Gary Ware. Join us next time on the Legends Radio Network.